Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity for your word. We thank you that your word is eternal, life-changing, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Father God, that your word penetrates our hearts. We let it penetrate our ears, so we have ears to hear. We let it penetrate our hearts and be practiced in our daily life. Thank you for the word, Father God. We say by faith that we have ears to hear. Come on, say it with me. I have ears to hear. I have eyes to see. And I have a heart that is receptive and willing to learn your truth, your gospel, your wisdom. In Jesus' name, I give you all the praise, Lord, and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Y'all sound great. Amen. We ready, right? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. My brethren, James, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Lord Jesus of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, everybody say testing of your faith. So we talked about testing your faith. Testing your faith produced patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, hallelujah, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Everybody say, ask for wisdom. When you don't know what to do, when you're stuck, when you're struggling, when you're stagnant or whatever. And so we are encouraged in the Word of God to walk in wisdom. Now in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, in the Passion Translation, it says, my child, never drift off course from these two goals. These two goals is your daily, weekly goals, to walk in wisdom and to discover discernment. Everybody say, walk in wisdom and discover discernment. Don't ever forget how they empower you, for they strengthen you inside and out and inspire you to do what's right. You will be energized and refreshed by the healing they bring. They give you living hope and guide you, and not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. Now, we talked about these tests, these 10 tests that occur in our lives, so not one of life's tests will cause you to stumble. Isn't that good? If you do what? Keep it as your goal to walk in wisdom. Everybody say walk in wisdom and discover discernment. Now, discernment is your ability to distinguish between good and evil, godly and ungodly, holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous, right people and the wrong people. Because all of them can be either wise or unwise influences in your life. They can be wise or foolish influences in your life. You got to know which good people to hang around, because most people are like escalators. They'll pull you down and get you stuck. Very few people will take you up. Praise God. So you got to have discernment. Everybody say, Lord, thank you for discernment. So do you realize in every church family, organization, there are problems to be solved, challenges to be addressed, and tensions to be managed? So you always have that in your family and in the church family. Amen. So, you know, we have problems sufficient enough for July. We're not even concerned about August yet. We got to get through July. We got challenges to be addressed in the month of July. So do you. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. How many of y'all agree with that? Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, in the Living Bible, TLB, the Living Bible, it says, and now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Now let that just soak in for a moment. Trust him too for each day's problems. Live, he tells you how to do it, in vital union with him, with Jesus. Let your roots grow down into him. So it's not just drawing up wisdom through your brain or through books or through Google. We said it should be coming from him. Amen. Draw up nourishment from him. See it to that you go on growing in the Lord and becoming strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. So when we had the wisdom pyramid on the, in our presentation the last couple of weeks, we said your first source of wisdom is the Word. Everybody say the Word. So the Word should be the foundation for your wisdom. What does the Word say? So don't think I'm intelligent, I'm genius, or I'm smart, and you're talking and walking and living outside of the Word. You should be basing your wisdom on the Word of God, which the Word and Jesus are synonymous. He is the truth. The Word is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Praise God. And the Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the word is truth. And so let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. So you're drawing your wisdom in Christ. You're drawing your discernment from the gift of Christ, the Christ that's in you and you being in him. Amen. Now, James chapter 1, verse 5 in the Amplified says it again, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, so if you're deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Everybody say that's a good word. So if you're lacking or deficient in wisdom, ask who? Ask your spouse. Ask your siblings. Come on now. Some people ask, what would you do? What do you think about that? Ask who? So all of us have the equal opportunity to go to God, because you might not always be able to talk to somebody in your family or in your church family right away. When you need wisdom, right? Praise the Lord. Somebody said, ask God. And the Bible gives us the picture that he will give to everyone liberally. In other words, he's going to open up his banquet table of wisdom. That means, everybody say, all wisdom. All wisdom will be opened up to us so that we can pick and choose what we need. What kind of wisdom we need. If it's a financial wisdom, if it's physical, dealing with pain and sickness wisdom, if it's family issues, wisdom for family issues. Praise God. What do I do? Everybody should be going to God first. Everybody say, go to God first. So we said in the wisdom triangle, we showed you the picture. The first source is the Word. The second source is church. So when you skip out on church, you skip out on a little nugget of wisdom that may be helpful for you. Amen. So you want to be in church. Praise the Lord. All right, so we'll pick it up here with two kinds of wisdom. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. It says this in verse 13, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Now that's an important question to ask. Let him show out of good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, wisdom was an important thing to Jewish people. So when James is writing this, he's talking about the 12 tribes. He realized it wasn't enough just to have knowledge. You had to have wisdom to be able to use that knowledge correctly. And all of us know people who are very intelligent. I mean, book grades, book smarts, academia, they are geniuses, almost. And yet they seemingly are unable to carry out the simplest task in life. And they can program computers and they cannot manage their own lives or possess wisdom in their relationships or responsibilities. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, what? Wisdom is the principal thing. So with this passage, James, by the Holy Spirit, presents dramatic contrast between earthly and heavenly wisdom. Everybody say two kinds of wisdom. So people's lives reflect the source of their wisdom, how they're acting, their conduct, how they're conversating, their speech. So those are two telltale signs of the source of their wisdom. So if they're talking things that are earthly, sensual, or selfish, self-seeking, or demonic, then that's not the wrong kind of wisdom. That's not the right kind. Amen. So God's wisdom, you see up here, is those who have a right and righteous relationship with God. They have understanding. They're concerned for others. They're demonstrating wisdom from heaven. They're not self-seeking. Because James says if you have bitter envy and strife or self-seeking among you, this wisdom didn't come from above. So when your conversation is centered around your three favorite people, me, myself, and I, what I'm doing, what I got going on, all right? Earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom are people who are strange from God. It is distant fellowship and connection with other Christians and the church. They're selfish, and they're reflecting the wisdom of Satan. Now, let's call it what it is. It's wisdom from Satan. The wisdom from the world is spawned in the bosom of Satan, and who lied and continues to lie against the truth of God. Worldly wisdom promises knowledge, but it produces disobedience. People become so earthly wise that they trust Google more than God. They trust AI more than God. They trust ChatGPT more than God. They trust technology and the things of this world more than God. Amen? And so that produces disobedience because we don't put the Lord first. We don't ask him for wisdom. We're asking other things. We're talking to other people. Praise God. So it seeks to please God, sensual, instead of pleasing God, creates chaos and strife, and is powered by the forces of hell. Those who operate in the world's wisdom cannot understand spiritual things or spiritual truths. Look at the key verse there in verse 16, James 3:16. For where there's envy, where envy and self-seeking exist, what happens? Confusion and every evil thing are there. Worldly wisdom will do anything to promote itself and injure others, and even to the injury of others. Sadly, it is what is even among the disciples who argued for their place of honor in the kingdom. Now, there are two consequences of earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. Confusion. Everybody say confusion. That means your mind doesn't know what to do. Your mind is out of order, just like you put that yellow tape over a bathroom, out of order. Your mind is out of order. You can't think right. Your thinking is out of line. And then every evil thing. Every evil thing is literally every worthless work. That means you're working hard, you're busy, but you're not doing anything. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, he tells us, next slide, please. He tells us that this wisdom from heaven has some job descriptions. It has some characteristics. He says it's pure. Purity is the first James list because heavenly wisdom is based on God's holiness. He is morally blameless and therefore incapable of producing evil. It's pure. Everybody say it's pure. So you're talking about 100% pure beef, 100% pure this, 100% pure. It has no impurities in it. Our degree of purity determines our level of glory and God manifesting our lives. Somebody say praise the Lord. So peaceable. Everybody say peaceable. Peaceable, that means true peace is always outgrown, is the outgrowth of purity. To be and become peace, we are to be and become peacemakers, peacekeepers, and peace seekers. So he said envy and strife is self-seeking. That means we're fighting, we're arguing, we're fussing. That's not God's source of wisdom. It's peaceable. That means we're going to make peace if it's a relational situation. We're about making and keeping peace. We're about seeking peace with God and others about a situation. Amen? And then when you're praying about a decision, like a purchase, you're buying a car, you're buying a house, you're buying a watch, you're buying a new iPhone, or whatever the case may be, you have what? Peace in your heart. Not pressure. But what? Peace. Hey, buddy. Yes. And then we're gentle. Strife, discord, being divisive and difficult comes from following the world's wisdom. But gentleness is characteristic of God. So you're gentle. You're not gruff and rough. You're gentle. You know you don't have the wisdom of God when you're coming in like a, you know, with the hot, you know, hot sauce running up your legs and you're talking loud and fast and being rude. That's not gentleness. Amen? It's willing to yield. That means this phrase could be also translated, you're willing to take instructions. God's wisdom has a conciliatory spirit and listens to reasons. God's wisdom makes a believer agreeable and easy to live with and work with. So when you have wisdom, when you're working on a group project or a team project, you're not argumentative as saying, I got to do this or I want to do it this way. Amen. That means you're willing to yield, willing to listen to instructions. That means we don't get hard-headed in our way of doing things. God always wants to change us and grow us, right? And then, of course, full of mercy and good fruits. Godly wisdom, our love, must be demonstrated in the word and in truth. Be full of something means to be controlled by it. So if I'm full of mercy, what am I controlled by? Come on, class. Come on, church. If I'm full of mercy, I should be controlled by mercy. That means I'm quick to forgive. I'm quick to not hold somebody's sin in front of them and said, I remember what you did. Amen. And full of fruit. If I'm full of love, I'm controlled by love. If I'm full of joy, I'm controlled by joy. Isn't that right? Everybody good? A person who follows God's wisdom is controlled by mercy. People who are faithful are fruitful. God's wisdom does not make life empty. It makes life, makes it full. You're not empty, mad, and frustrated because there's a void or a vacuum in your heart or in your emotions. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God's wisdom is practical. It changes the life and produces good works to the glory of God. It's without partiality. Without partiality. Everybody say, without partiality. So that means you don't discriminate against others. Amen. You don't discriminate. You don't prejudice. You don't knock them down to different levels because you're on a higher level. You're without partiality. You're without respect of persons. You don't take a position in one circumstance and then change your position when the circumstances change. That means you are double-minded. You're changing all the time. I'm all with you, Lord. I'm all with you, Pastor. Then we look around and say, where are you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then without hypocrisy, a hypocrite says one thing and does another. Wisdom from above is sincere and real. No game playing, mask wearing, no acting. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So religious politics is an abomination to God. Faith is living without scheming. Amen. You believe God, and that's it. Trust God, that's it. You don't scheme and manipulate people on the other side. Praise God. So everybody said, lift your hands and thank God for that. So when we ask God for wisdom, this is what we get. Somebody said, hallelujah. All right, so let's turn to the next slide. And I'm going to go to Colossians, if you follow me to that chapter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Verse 16. 15, it should be 16, but I'll read 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, where you're also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Everybody say all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, our sister read and prayed the Ephesians prayer. The Ephesians 1 prayer. The Ephesians 1 prayer says that God would grant us and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Wisdom is all the way through the Bible. So we're asking for wisdom. We're saying the word should be dwelling in us and richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So first we see wisdom is the principal thing. Second, true wisdom comes from God and God alone. James 1:5, if anybody's deficient in wisdom, let him ask of God. Heavenly wisdom fuels your heart and focuses your mind on kingdom passion and eternal purposes. On the contrary, earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom fuels your heart and focuses on selfish ambition or self-seeking thing, strife. So you're talking about what I want, what I need, what I got to have, what has to change for my benefit. So you can tell what kind of wisdom you're operating in. So the distinctions and the differences between heaven's wisdom and earthly, hell's wisdom, basically, they are contrast in origin, they are contrast in operation, and they are contrast in outcomes. If every time you face a struggle or a situation negatively, and you end up fighting with other people, fussing with other people, chewing people out, them chewing you out, backbiting and gossiping against other people, that's not God's wisdom. Amen. And sometimes we lean too much on earthly, sensual, and demonic because we think I'm so many years old, or I am their parent or grandparent, and we think we can fight and fuss and carry on in that lower hellish type of wisdom. It's always gonna fuel strife, and it's always gonna fuel every evil work. Amen. So we get wisdom by praying and asking God for it from His word revealed to our hearts and minds, and praying in the spirit long enough to tap into God's wisdom. Everybody get that, right? We get wisdom by praying and asking God for it from His word revealed to our hearts and minds, and praying in the spirit long enough to tap into God's wisdom. Now, there's three types you need. Now, make a reference to this. Write these three things down. Three types of wisdom you need from heaven. Number one, wisdom for the day you are facing. So that's why we said you should ask for wisdom every day. Now, did you ask for wisdom today? Did you ask for it yesterday? Did you ask for it Friday, Thursday, Wednesday? Come on now. Then second, wisdom to live by. Lord, I don't want to live my days foolishly. The psalmist says in Psalms 90, Lord, teach me to number my days so that I can apply my heart to wisdom. That means I don't need to waste time and squander my greatest commodity that I have in life, which is T-I-M-E, time. I need to redeem the time. I need to make the most of opportunity. I don't need to fill up my days with a bunch of junk and drivel and gossip. I need to fill my days up to live by wisdom. And wisdom for the marketplace, to deal wisely in business affairs, the market, and in legal matters. Everybody says, thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Now, Proverbs 4:5-7 says, get wisdom, get understanding. That means that's our job, to go get wisdom, get understanding. God tells us how to get it. Praying from his word, praying in the spirit. And forget it not, neither decline from the words of your mouth, my mouth. Forsake her not, and then she will preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. In other words, when you don't decline from the words of God's mouth, that means you're listening to him first and foremost, and ultimately he has the final say. His word has the final say. Wisdom is the principal thing, not a principal thing. It is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, next slide. So ask for it. So wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and then following up and doing it. It is the ability to live life skillfully. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Wisdom is the combination of knowledge and understanding and action. Knowledge, understanding, and action. Everybody say knowledge, understanding, and action. It produces a strategy, and a strategy produces success and increase. Wisdom helps you discover, discern, and determine the key issue. Everybody say the key issue, or the root cause of to a problem, pain, pressure, or predicament you fall into or find yourself facing. Wisdom from God produces five key things. I call it the five D's, the five big displays of wisdom, manifestation, discernment. Everybody say discernment. Direction. Everybody say direction. Everybody say discretion. Amen. Details. And then number five, divine timing. So let's talk about direction. You get clarity, insight, correction, and instruction. You know, Ziglar said once, it is a lack of direction, not time, that is the real problem. We all have 24-hour days. Do you know what to do with your time? Do we all know what to do with our time? Discretion means good judgment or being discreet. You don't just say everything to somebody who's not even, don't even love God or care for God or don't even serve God. Don't be trying to put your pearls before the swine. Sometimes we try to preach to kids and preach and minister to people who don't even love this word, love God's word. They don't value God's word. You can't talk to them like they're a preacher. Amen. They're not going to value that wisdom. You got to have discretion when you want to have a hissy fit or fuss around. Or blow your top. Because you could have unsaved or borderline backslidden people around you, and then you usually convince them that you ain't got no wisdom much as I do. You got to have discretion. Because when you need to have a conversation, an intimate conversation, or bare your heart with somebody, you don't ever go down or you don't ever go out to people who are not walking in wisdom themselves. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. God makes all things beautiful in his time. Divine timing. What is that? Well, you know when. Whenever the Lord says the right time. You don't, not when you say it feels like the right time. You do it in God's timing. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. And then you allow God to control the clock and the calendar of your life. Take your hands off the clock and off the calendar. Staying humble, surrendered and submissive to the Lord in all seasons, situations, and scenarios of your life. Let him control the clock. Everybody say, God, you control the clock and the calendar in my life. He knows what you need every day. He knows what you need next month. He's the only wise God. The Bible says in Timothy, he is the only wise God. So you need to get his wisdom to live every day in situation where you're facing the marketplace, legal, business, or financial affairs, wisdom to live by, just to be wise. You need to be wise, as Jesus said, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Jesus said that, right? That means you need to be wise enough to not always run your mouth off when you're a bunch of people who don't know Jesus and who don't know the word. Praise the Lord. You don't need them to drag you into some foolishness or unwise decision making. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's keep going. We're almost done. Everybody good? Y'all get something out of this? Next slide, guys. All right, so the ones in highlight in yellow, we want to break down a little bit. Wisdom helps us, leads us into the divine purpose and plan of God for our life. Now, if I heard it once, I probably heard it 100 times, or maybe even closer to 1,000, when people tell me, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Now, if you live without purpose, your life has no meaning. Because purpose gives meaning to life. It gives a reason, why am I here? Why am I at this church? Do I have this family? Amen. See, a career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. Every one of us in this room, and even ones online, you have been called. So whether you have a career vocation or not, or you do in Christ have a calling. Everybody say a calling. The calling must be answered. So when people don't know what they want, the problem is insufficient knowledge. Because they don't know what God wants from me. So they just drift around during the day. They don't know what God's called me to do. When we must realize, when we say, wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, you give Jesus the full autonomy and control to say, I'm deciding for you what you do. Remember, you make 35,000 decisions in a day. You need to get that to the Lord. So give that to the Lord. Everybody give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He's the one who decides. And then number two, then he gives you your daily assignment. Lord, what's my assignment? That speaks to purpose. When we talk like, I got to do this, I got that, I got, and sometimes when we get a little bit full of ourselves, we center everything around what I've got to do today. We make our appointments. Some of them are doctor's appointments. Some of them are appointments with other people or other things. We got to do this, got to do that. And everything's evolving around who? And not the divine purpose. And Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are brought into captivity because they have no knowledge. So what do? You got to pray the Ephesians 1 prayer. We prayed it this morning. You pray it again every day. I don't know. I don't have revelation knowledge. It's not revealed to my heart clearly what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to want. Because that prayer tells you that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened or flooded with, filled with light, that we may know. Everybody say no. Know what the hope of his calling is for your life. What is the riches of the glory and the inheritance in the saints? What is your inheritance? What do you have? Because sometimes we say, I need this, I want that. Well, what do you have? Because you're asking for things you already have. You're trying to ask for things that's already been given to you in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's not wise to ask for something God's already given it to you. He's already given it to you in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When Jesus already got it, you don't need to get it. And then he said the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. When people don't, second bullet, the underlines, nothing, write this down because this is important. When people don't pursue what they want, the problem is motivation. Now, that used to just bug me early on in my pastorate tenure, 20 years plus, because I used to wonder why people didn't want to pursue their healing. But they wanted to be healed. They wanted to feel better. That's it. They wanted the pain to go away. But they sit in the office with a doctor for an hour and listen to him tell them all the medical science stuff that they got to go through and the medical science Olympics that they had to go through to get to even feel a little bit of relief. And they don't go to God and ask God, what do I do to get rid of this pain, this problem that Jesus has already bought for me? By his stripes we were what? Healed. Amen. And so they don't like the motivation. Well, Colossians 9 says that we pray that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. His will is healing. His will is health as well as life. Amen. Don't matter how old or young you are, his will is healing. His will is prosperity. So it used to frustrate me. Sometimes still does. Well, people won't trust God and believe God for increase. They just settle. I'm on a fixed income. This is all I make. Take it or leave it, Pastor. No. Why are you settling? You don't have any motivation to come out of that level and go to another level. Why is there no motivation? You got to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Because what are we doing? We're thinking earthly, essential, demonic wisdom. We're thinking this is all I make. This is all I get. This is all I have. This I can't afford. I can't do this. I don't have enough money. I run out of money before the month runs out. And the devil's barking right in. Yes, 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 yes. He's amen. And he's yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. And so we don't say, what do you want? What do you want me to believe for? What do you want me to trust you for? That's why he said bring the projects back into line, because people lay down their faith and they stop being faithful with their finances and increasing and being fruitful with their finances. We make excuses why I don't have no money. Because the government only gives me so much. Was the government God? Then why do we lose motivation? Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will, what you want, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of you, Lord, unto all pleasing. It's pleasing. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So our faith must be seeking God. Amen. You need patience. He said, under all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You need patience to deal with people who try to demotivate you. Because misery tends to love company. And so you hang around people who are struggling, discontent, and in debt like you are, and they tell you, child, yeah, I know, I understand. I got the same struggle. And you run around and commiserate, and God's not happy with that. Why? Because it's foolish talk. So you need patience so you can deal with people who try to demotivate you. Patience is cheerful endurance. You smile, but you don't commit and comment on that foolish kind of conversation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. And you need long-suffering to deal with the problems that try to discourage you, because problems will come, and sometimes each day's problems will come every day. Why do you need long suffering? You don't need to lose your temperature or get worried because a problem came. People go to the extreme. They either get anxious or they get angry because something came up today. This broke, or this, we need this. And they become long. They don't become long suffering. They take the long off of it, and they feel like they're suffering. They tell everybody, I'm suffering because I got all these problems that came up in my house, in my life. And you need joy to deal with the pressures that try to drain you of your spiritual strength and stamina. You don't lose your joy. You maintain your joy. And you turn up your joy. Remember, he said, count it all joy. Praise God. Now, the third one is this. When people don't achieve what they want, it's often a problem of what? Persistence. Everybody say persistence. So some people pass the test of faith. They'll step out and say, well, I believe God's word. I believe what God's word says. And they'll even obey it to a degree. But then to keep obeying it is persistence, takes persistence and determination. Just like that servant who went to Elisha and said, the enemy's coming at me. What am I supposed to do? He told him, open the window, take arrows, and shoot one out the window. And so he obeyed, acted in faith. That's how you're going to defeat your enemy. But he said, now take your bow and strike the ground. He just did it three times. And Elijah got angry with him. He said, you should have kept on striking the ground. Now, where do people miss it? They stop making confessions. We put the prayers even in the YouVersion Bible app for wisdom or for in Christ or for faith or for the blood of Jesus or for healing. They read them and pray them once and they think that's good enough when you should be feeding healing and finances every day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You should be speaking over your finances every day. You should be speaking over your body and your mind every single day. You should be saying, we should be going around and saying, let me pull out your confession over your body. People aren't persistent and consistent or determined to speak the word of faith on a regular. You got to speak the word every day. You got to maintain your confessions every day. You can't lose your confession or let it slip or change it because of the circumstances of change. You're still saying, I am who God's word says I am. I can do what God's word says I can do. I can have what God's word says I can have. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it in the name of Jesus. I don't look at what I see. I don't look at what I feel. I don't respond to what the circumstances are saying to me. I respond to the word of God. I say what the word says. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm persistent and consistent and determined to stick with the word, and the word sticks with me. And so when you have a problem with achieving what God's will is, because you know it, and I'm running up over my head in debt and lack and want and penury, and what do I need to do? Ask for spiritual strength. Strengthen with me with might by my spirit in inner man. That Christ may dwell in my heart. But this is, I'm talking about praying for wisdom, but the right kind of one, right? There's two kinds. And then, of course, my love may abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that I may approve things that are excellent and be sincere without offense. Because people get offended a lot of times when bad stuff starts happening. They get mad when people cross them up or say something ugly to them or say something maybe not as nice to them. And they get all crossed up and changed up. Well, you got a problem with persistence because you're supposed to stay in love. You're supposed to stick with love. You're supposed to stick with mercy and stick with compassion. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody getting something out of this? We're almost done. Wisdom, trust the journey. The journey not only teaches us about wisdom, but also enables us to internalize wisdom. It's not just about what you do in life. It's about who you become, what you become in the process of what you do. So every one of us from this day forward, as we're going through a situation, as we face the test or the struggle, we should be jumping and testifying, I came out of the struggle. I passed the test. We're not out here talking about our problems and our pains and our pressure. No, we're getting up or we just got through passing the test. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And what happens? We're growing. We're getting better. We're becoming more skillful with our faith. Wisdom helps us discover and follow God's best path and plan for our life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then wisdom ahead. You don't get what you want in life. You get what you prepare for. Preparation is the greatest evidence that you believe something is better is coming for you into your life. And the bigger that something is going to be, the more time we need to prepare for it. So wisdom is a planner. Planning is winning. If we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Today, well lived, will take care of tomorrow. Two things that can dramatically reduce your fear of doing anything is preparation and practice. Everybody say preparation and practice. So what are you preparing for? Because faith prepares, faith gets ready. Remember, James 1 tells us it's the testing of our faith to see if your faith has prepared for the test and is prepared to pass the test. Prepared to pass the struggle. But he throws in wisdom on top of it and says, if you're deficient in wisdom, ask. If you don't know what to do to prepare, if you don't know what to do to practice, ask for wisdom. Amen? Now, all of us should be practicing healing. When? Every time you eat. If you slip down one of those donuts, you should be saying, thank you, Father. I know this is sweets, but I'm practicing healing right now. By the word of God, according to the word of God, I'm healed. On the top of my head, by his stripes, I'm healed. When you're eating dinner this evening, practice healing. Everybody say practice healing. When you get up in the morning, you what? Practice healing. You're speaking healing over your body. Speaking healing over your blood. You're pleading the blood of Jesus over your family. You're practicing deliverance. You're practicing prosperity. Right? That means you're giving your tithes and offerings. And you're speaking over them before you even bring them to church. You're speaking over them. Thank you, Father God, for this increase. I'm grateful for the money you brought in, no matter how little or how much. I thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be a part of your kingdom economy, that you will bless me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men and women, teenagers, given to my bosom. The money will come. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I do not lack for ability or opportunity or money. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow, painful to us. I don't care if you're down to the last $5 or the last dollar. You're still practicing prosperity. Amen. Preparation, preparing to prosper. Bringing my tithes, bringing my offering, bringing my extra. I'm preparing for prosperity because the harvest will come. If I sow it, God's going to grow it, and then I'm going to reap it. Say praise God. If I sow it, God's going to grow it, and then I'm going to reap it. Somebody say praise God. Just like you're planting flowers in your garden, you're planting money into the kingdom. I'm not throwing my seed, I'm sowing. You're saying, walking out here saying, all grace, Father God, I thank you that all grace, every blessing and earthly favor is coming to me in abundance. I don't care if you had a H-E-double-L week. If you had a hell week, you're still saying all grace, every favor and earthly blessing is coming to me in abundance. When you're blessing the food at dinner, you're saying, my God supplies all my needs, not just half of them, all of them, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I call the money in. Money, you belong to me. Come into my accounts. Angels go and cause the money to come. Satan, take your hands off my money. Woo! Come on, y'all stand with me. Hallelujah. Wisdom creates winning habits. Habits shape character, and our character determines our destiny. What's a habit you have? If you have a habit of worry, then you got to get wisdom to stop worrying quick. Stop worrying so much. If you have a habit of getting angry and really upset when somebody gives you bad news, particularly about the family, or somebody made a mistake, or somebody messed up, somebody got in trouble again. Come on now, y'all know, most of y'all mamas, y'all know what I'm talking about. And they get all heavy on your heart. What are you going to do? Are you going to get frustrated and upset because they did misbehave or they got in trouble again? It's just a test of your faith. Respond in faith. Praise God. Father God, we